This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. Now, it's official. UMNO and PAS have cemented their partnership by signing a national cooperation charter over the weekend. And this charter was signed by UMNO President Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi and PAS President Dato' Sri Abdul Hadi Awang at the Putra World Trade Center on Saturday in the presence of thousands of supporters. And with the partnership, both parties are agreeing not to contest against each other in the next general elections.
So an informal cooperation arrangement between PAS and UMNO resulted in several by-elections victories since GE14. The UMNO and PAS alliance is something to be reckoned with, because in GE14, PAS and Barisan National Coalition, which is called Gagasan Sejahtera, won 97 seats BN taking 79 and GS 18.
Now, the big question is, with this pact formalised, will the tie-up succeed in winning more support from Malay voters to win the next general elections?
So joining us on the line this morning for some analysis is Ibrahim Sufian, Programme Director at the Pollster Merdeka Centre. Thank you for joining us, Ben. Now, was there anything in the charter that was a surprise or maybe stood out to you?
Well, I mean, I looked at the charter very quickly, but then, you know, it is not something of a surprise. I think the charter by itself spells out how they're going to aspire to work together and try to come up with an offering to the public that, you know, potentially extends just beyond talking about race and religious issues.
So I think this question is on everybody's mind. Will this alliance between PAS and UMNO allow them to take away the power in the next general election from Pakatan Harapan?
Well, I think if you look at things on paper and based on the 2018 election, I think this is where the charter and the cooperation between PAS and UMNO is coming from. That it is looking at the results of the 2018 election, and I think the leaders as well as the strategists of both parties looked at and felt that if they had cooperated, they would be able to prevent Pakatan Harapan from winning. But I think that's roughly where it ends, in the sense that this is a program or a pact that is designed to fight the last war, the last battle. I think the landscape in the country moving towards the 2023 election is going to be decidedly different. The dynamics are going to be different, and I think also the players may be different as well.
And Ben, do you think there's anything PAS and UMNO could do to win the trust of the non-Malay voters with this pact?
I think with what they have spelled out and the way the political narrative, not what is intended or the official speeches, but the general rhetoric that's been coming out from leaders of both parties, I think it's becoming exceedingly harder for them to appeal to other Malaysians, non-Malay Malaysians, whether they are the ethnic Indians and Chinese in West Malaysia, but also the Bumi Putras in Sabah and Sarawak. And I think therein lies the problem with this pact, in the sense that it confines them to an area where they're very familiar with, which is talking about Islam and Malay issues, but it also confines them to be pretty much a single platform coalition. And that's, I think, the problem. And the other thing is, you know, it's an evolving situation. Pakatan Harapan has only been in power for about 15 months and is still in the midst of implementing reforms. And I think if some of the reforms take root and start to change the political culture of the country, then the landscape moving forward into the future will decidedly change as well.
Now, Ben, as you said, the environment here really is changing. And in a similar vein, both UMNO and PAS profess to be on the same side now, but that didn't necessarily, wasn't always the case. And do you see any issues that could create fissures in this relationship going forward?
Well, certainly. I mean, we look at this coalition or this cooperation between the two parties as something that is responding to not just aspirational needs about trying to wrest power in the future, but also addressing the immediate needs faced by both parties. I think more so UMNO as compared to PAS, in the sense that UMNO's leadership has currently beset by many legal challenges, and many of them may not see themselves contesting in the 2023 election. So, you know, between now and 2023, there will be another round of UMNO party election. So new leaders may come to the picture. And these new leaders will be representing a different kind of UMNO electorate within the party. One may, maybe where it's a bit harder for them to collaborate with PAS, partly because they are competing for the same Malay electorate. So it means that they have to relinquish control to the states, the seats, and so on. So I think it's interesting to see whether or not UMNO, having been the dominant party for the last 6 decades, is able to see them for relinquishing control or influence over states and seats in the future.
And Ben, on a very practical level, how are they going to resolve issues like who will run for constituency? And if this PAC does actually succeed in winning the next general election, which party will be will have the PM in charge?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. And it's something that, you know, to be honest, still uncertain right now. The question that you asked, you know, harks back to my earlier response, which is UMNO prepared to relinquish control over states like Kedah, Kelantan and Terengganu? And as far as willing to let go or giving up any hope of trying to get sizable influence in the southern states of Malacca, Negeri Sembilan and Johor, where UMNO is more dominant, a dominant player there, likewise in other states as well. So in the past, and UMNO has always competed against one another, or for at least since 1974, for seats in the federal as well as state constituencies. They've always competed for the same Malay voters down there in the grassroots. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they carve up. And I think the seat allocation between the two seats, two parties, as it leads into an election, is going to be an interesting one. But I want to say that even before we reach that stage, over the next couple of years, other pressures, other issues may come to the fore, which is going to test the reliability and the resilience of this cooperation. And by this, I mean, you know, UMNO will be undergoing legal action over issues such as the civil forfeiture on funds and things like that, and as well, likely irregularities with respect to its status in the register of society. So we are going to see things like that evolve over time. Likewise, leaders as well of UMNO may see change of leaders between the next couple of years, who may or may not be as invested in seeing this cooperation with PAS hold on.
Thank you so much, Ben. And that was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre, making a good point there, which is that before GE15 comes about, we will see party elections first. And whether or not who comes to the fore, particularly in UMNO in those party elections, is really going to drive the forward movement of the UMNO PAS charter. Because even UMNO itself is rife with factionalism. There are many different, very, very many different elements within UMNO that could maybe and not necessarily be so gung-ho about tying up with PAS.
Well, factionalism is not the monopoly of the UMNO PAS side. Even Pakatan has their own factionalism, including from PKR, where Anwar is now at loggerheads with Azmin. So that could be a factor that the other side may exploit just to their advantage.
But what is really the case is that, you know, race and religion come back to the forefront of Malaysian politics with this pact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're preaching to the converted, if you ask me. Because this is something that PAS and UMNO have always gone on about. But it's strange because, you know, you can change bedfellows so easily in politics. It's just so fluid. I mean, they were like sworn enemies not too long ago.
But as you said, they do appear to be preaching to the converted. And Ben also did say that they run the risk now of becoming a single platform party. So how they are going to diversify is the question that remains to be seen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.